4.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Like Mark said, I did submit a report. I won't read the report, but I'm happy to answer any questions about the report here in a bit. My name is Eric Buckwater, and I'm the NBE coordinator with the commission. Prior to taking the role of NBE coordinator, I did work as a vocational rehabilitation counselor with the commission out of the Lincoln office for about 6.5 years. I started as the NBE coordinator in April of 2020, which means right as the world was shutting down because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And even though the challenges of the past 2 years have been great, I do thoroughly enjoy what I do working with the NBE program. I get to do a wide variety of things that seem to play to my strengths. I do usually enjoy the challenges, and I really like the fact that no 2 days are ever really the same. I wanted to highlight just a few things from the report that I submitted and to clarify some things that may not have been the most clear. Then I'll be happy to answer any questions from the commissioners. I also have two of our NBE vendors on the call this morning to share a little bit more about their business and their experience with the NBE program. And my colleague in the NBE program, Dave Robinson, is also here, and he can field some questions that pertain to more of what he does if needed. There's no question that the past 2 years have presented challenges for the NBE program, but more importantly is that the vendors in the program were presented with challenges as well, and even bigger challenges than the commission side of it. When the world made the overnight shift from working in office buildings to working from home, the vendors in the NBE program, BEP programs across the nation, and all others in the convenience service industry saw a huge hit to their livelihood as their businesses took a pretty drastic decline. Every single one of our NBE vendors here in Nebraska is to be commended for the hard work that they did during the initial stage of the pandemic and that they continue to do now going on 2 years as businesses and agencies that they serve continue to figure out what their new normal is for their office buildings and what they will be going forward. The NBE program was one of the few programs across the country that was able to add sites and grow, especially during 2020. While it is true that some of these added sites were in progress prior to the pandemic, our vendors did step up to the plate and took on additional sites at a time when an argument could have easily been made that it was not the best business decision to do so. The convenience service industry, which vending machine cafeteria services are a part, was already facing some changes prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. The pandemic did accelerate some of these changes, forcing the industry as a whole to quickly pivot from their traditional operating practices. Catered food sales, where a vendor would bring in a third party, such as a restaurant, to serve food, were already in decline prior to the pandemic. In a lot of instances, these services disappeared or were severely cut back during COVID-19. One of the biggest drivers for this decline, I feel, is the rise of the food delivery services. As opposed to 10 or even 5 years ago, the average break room is not the closed ecosystem that it once was. Employees can now order food from almost anywhere they want, exactly how they want it, and have it delivered to their desk. NBE is paying very close attention to the national trends around how this pivot affects vendors and how, as an NBE program, we can help them figure out how to operate and work around this aspect of their business going forward. One of the positives of the past 2 years were the forced changes to some vendors' businesses to more closely track inventory and stock and supplies. Vendors are now, for the most part, running slimmer operations as they have gained new skills in controlling inventory, so less product goes to waste and they lose less money. These changes that the vendors are facing has the NBE staff thinking and talking about ways that we can run a slimmer and more efficient operation on our end. For example, my report highlighted that the mix of certain types of vending machines that NBE carries may be slightly out of step with the average. Instead of purchasing and putting the machines in that we have always done in the past, how can we ensure that the machines we are placing in sites are the best machines to maximize the vendor's ability to run a successful and profitable business? While there are many state agencies that work with people on their businesses and employment, the NBE program is a fairly unique situation that we as a government agency purchase the equipment and hold the contracts for the sites that our vendors serve to run for their own for-profit business. Therefore, we have to balance our thinking and how we invest funds on equipment with one mind on being a government agency and one mind on how we would do things as if we were a business. NBE has recently approved the hire of a third person to work with Dave and I full-time in the NBE program. Adding this third person will allow us to achieve these goals as we strive to make efficient and data-driven decisions that are in the best interests of our vendors and their businesses. Just a few examples of these type of items that we'll be able to work more on once we have a third person. Bringing more repair and servicing the machines in-house. This will both reduce costs spent on subcontracting these services, but also improve how quickly these repairs are able to be made. We'll be able to work more directly with each vendor on best business practices, taking an in-depth look at anything that can be improved upon to enhance profitability. And recent advances in vending machine technology also make it easier to track granular level data from machines about sales and performance. And with the added time that a third person will give us, NBE staff can use this data to better look at trends and track information that can assist us at making better decisions at a program level. It is a very exciting time for the NBE program. The changes within the convenience service industry are driving innovation and creative solutions across the country. NBE is working hard to make sure that our vendors can continue to adapt and make the changes necessary to thrive wherever the market may go next. That's all I really had as far as covering in addition to what was in my report. I'm happy to answer any commissioners' questions, either about my written report or what I presented today. And then I'll introduce our vendors that are here to speak as well.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was a very, I'd say, impressive presentation. What I really appreciated here, I worked in the food industry for a number of years, and I loved to hear just the thought process and the dedication to knowing who our consumers are, you know, who's buying our product, what are their needs, and you know, when I read the report, I didn't realize how big of a hit the vendors have taken in the last 2 years with the pandemic and more people working from home. And I like to think that, you know, most of those people are going to come back to work someday, but they may not. So I think it gives us some new opportunities to figure out how to, make those vending positions as profitable and lucrative as they can be. So very, very well. Very well thought out, Eric, and I appreciate the attention to detail and kind of the science behind it. It's not just we got a bunch of stuff, we're going to put it in the machine and see what sells. We need to do better than that, and we are doing better than that. So Commissioners, do you have any questions for Eric at this time?
Yes. Yes. This is Cheryl.
Yeah, hi, Cheryl. Go ahead.
Oh, I think Kimberly was first, I think. But I guess it doesn't matter.
Go ahead, Cheryl, and then we'll
Okay. Well, I just have a kind of a nitpicky little question, maybe. But, Eric, in your report, you referred to something called a micro market. Could you tell us what that actually is?
Sure. Micro markets are a new trend. They've been slowly growing over the last decade or so. But a micro market, instead of a break room having a bunch of traditional vending machines, a micro market feels much more like a small convenience store when you walk into it. The chips, the candy, those sorts of non-refrigerated products are displayed on a rack, very similar to what you would see in a convenience store. Beverages, cold food items, instead of being in a vending machine, are in coolers, like you would see in a convenience store, maybe the end cap at the checkout at a grocery store. And then the consumers, the customers come in, they can browse the products, pick them up, you know, look at them, look at nutritional information. And then there's a self-checkout kiosk where they can scan, much like a self-checkout at the supermarket. They can scan the products, and then they can either pay by credit card or they can put money into an account. And so they have a passcode that they enter. Some of the fancier self-checkout kiosks have a thumbprint scanner, so they can, you know, just touch their thumb down, check out, and be on their way. Some of the advantages of micro markets, you can have sometimes a wider selection of products. For example, cold food items, pre-made salads and things like that don't vend very well from a traditional vending machine. You can have some larger products, for example, the size bags that hang on pegs in the convenience store that don't fit in a traditional vending machine. It's also, it has a much friendlier feel to it. So that in a nutshell is what a micro market is. As far as cost goes, to put in a micro market is usually a little cheaper than putting in the same amount of vending machines to serve the area. The operating costs are lower as far as repairs go, because it's just a cooler or a rack as opposed to a vending machine with moving parts. There are some more service costs, though, fees from the self-checkout kiosk, as well as security services. There's usually at least two cameras involved for security purposes, to make sure product isn't walking. But that, in a nutshell, is what a micro market is.
Thank you.
Good question. Great answer. Any other questions, Cheryl?
No. I think that the only other thing I would ask is, so then there still needs to be somebody there at the site to wait on customers and such, or is that kind of a self-service kind of a thing?
It is a self-service. It is a self-service. There does not need to be somebody there. Everything is contained in the self-checkout. The way it's monitored is with the security cameras. There's usually at least one camera mounted in the ceiling that's pointed at the products. And then there's a camera on the self-checkout kiosk, much like you see at the grocery store with the self-checkouts. There's a couple features built in. For example, if you see product disappearing, you can contact the company that does the security, and they can look to see if product is disappearing. The self-checkout kiosk, one thing that people do sometimes to try and scam the system is to scan the items and then hit cancel without paying, and walk away so it looks like they're paying. Some of the self-checkout kiosks will glow red when that happens, and that's tied into the security system to key the security company to take a look at that to see if the person actually put stuff back or if they just walk with it. Because of the nature of them, micro markets work best in break rooms or in areas that don't have public access to them. So for example, break rooms in controlled environments where only the employees have access to the break room. One thing that a lot of companies implement, it's kind of a one strike rule. If you're caught stealing from the micro market person that services your building, you're usually fired immediately for theft.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good incentive to be honest, and we hope our government employees are honest. So great answer, Eric. Any other questions, Cheryl? Kimberly, do you have any questions you'd like to
ask? Yes. Eric, in your report, you had noted that there are some vending sites that are subcontracted. Is there a set length of time where the site can be subcontracted without having a blind vendor at that site?
That's a really good question. Up until recently, the answer was no. When we subcontract a site, we usually sign a commitment for 1 year, 2 years, something like that. Once that initial time has passed, if we have a vendor that's interested, we will put it back out for bid so vendors can bid on that site again. Recently, the Rehabilitation Services Administration, who oversees the vending programs across the country, implemented new guidelines where the agency, the SLAs, which are the state licensing agencies, can no longer directly subcontract for federal sites. So we're putting together a bid notification for all vendors that's going out next week for all the federal sites that we currently subcontract for vendors to be able to bid on those sites. The way the regulations are written is that if a vendor wishes, they may subcontract the operation of the site and receive a commission. One of the only reasons that NBE subcontract sites is if we don't have a vendor who's interested and who wants to, but we want to keep a hold of that contract. The example I gave in the report, a lot of the small post offices in Lincoln and Omaha are subcontracted. The volume of business there is usually pretty low, and there's lots of travel and logistics involved in getting to those sites. So we had trouble finding a vendor who was interested, just because of the travel and the logistics involved. At the time, those were subcontracted. So, but that isn't to say that right now there's not a vendor that's interested when we put that bid out.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions from Linda or Brent? Did you have any questions?
I had my hand up, but Cheryl asked my question. So.
Oh, okay, thanks, Linda. Brent?
I'm good.
Okay, good. A couple of years ago, time flies, we passed here in the state of Nebraska the mini Randolph Shepherd that opened up some new vending operation opportunities in the state buildings. At this time, have we pretty well capitalized or taken advantage of those state building locations at this time? I know we made some good progress in Department of Roads and Department of Corrections. Have we pretty much got the locations that we feel that are good opportunities for blind vendors that we didn't have before the mini Randolph Shepherd law? What's your thoughts on that, Eric?
In Lincoln, I think we probably have hit a lot of the large ones. There was a, you know, the past 2 years since I've come on board has not been a great time to approach places about vending services. It's kind of the last thing on their mind right now. But with the addition of a third person, it is going to give us that flexibility to kind of seek out some more of those. One thing that we're keeping an eye on, it's not a state facility, but it's a local one. A lot of the Lincoln, City of Lincoln contracts for vending are coming up for bid this fall. So we're hoping to expand some of our local our local sites with this fall.
Okay, good answer. Then I guess the other question is, you know, we have a number of vendors that are fairly new, and then we have some that are older. Where are we at as far as being able to meet the vendor needs now and in the future? Do we have a pretty good handle on that? Are you actively seeking new vendors? Or where are you at on that, Eric?
Sure. Right now, we're okay. The average age of our vendors does tend to skew towards the older end of the workforce age group. So in the next 5 to 10 years, I do anticipate seeing quite a few vendors retire. I would love to have more interest in the NBE program from younger consumers, bring them in, get them trained up really well so they can, so when the time comes, they have the experience and the skills necessary to take on larger sites that may come down the path. In talking with other BEP programs across the country, finding those younger consumers who are interested in the Randolph Shepherd programs is hard. A lot of vendors across the country in BEP programs are skewing to the upper end of the workforce, and other states are having trouble finding those younger consumers as well. So definitely something that is being talked about in those, you know, in those BEP circles across the country.
Yeah, you know, it's my hope that, you know, over the years, I don't know that we've increased the number of vendors, but up until the pandemic, I think the earnings per vendor was getting better, and that's, you know, we want that to be a lucrative job, not just a, you know, kind of a hobby or a part-time job. So very good. Well, I think that's all we have for commissioner questions. What else do you want to share with us, Eric, as before we move on?
Sure. I have two vendors, Sandy Alvarado and Jeremy Ritchie, who agreed to just share a little bit from the vendor perspective about the NBE program. Sandy Alvarado is also the chair of our elected committee of blind vendors. And Jeremy Ritchie, one of our newer vendors, he had the unfortunate timing to start in the program in the spring of 2020. Maybe wondered what he had gotten himself into, but he has persevered in the last 2 years and has actually become one of our top performing vendors in the program. So, Sandy, if you want to take a few minutes, introduce yourself, tell us how long you've been a vendor, what drew you to the NBE program initially, and why you stayed, and then also just a bit about your business, the sites you serve, typical work week, and what is involved in running your business besides just putting product in machines.
There's a whole lot to that. excuse me. I've been in the program, maybe 12 years now. I've done a variety of different sites, and I have definitely grown. When I was first started, I had like 4 or 5 buildings, and then it expanded to eventually I had 15 buildings, and it was a route all across Omaha. And then I tried to leave the program because my husband had a stroke, but they didn't want me to leave. So I came back, and I currently have the site at Offutt Air Force Base in the STRATCOM headquarters, where there are 22 break rooms and 42 machines. And they have too many break rooms there, but it's okay. I also have a new site. It's a post office processing center, I believe is what they're going to make it. It's so new that I wondered if I needed to wear a construction hat when going out there to service the machines. They were real busy just before Christmas because they were helping with the overload out there. Now they're starting to get a regular crew out there. And it's over here in Omaha by the Amazon area, which is about 144th, which is way out west. If you're ever used to Omaha, just kind of take the exit for Cracker Barrel and head south. And that one's been fairly easy. Over the course of time, I first was not involved with the committee, then became the secretary, and then when we got to where we had some older vendors, and they've all retired. As Eric was suggesting, you know, the next 10 years or so, there'll probably be more of us retiring. I took over as the chair, been very active with our commission. We communicate all the time about different things because we're supposed to have active participation. During the pandemic, our commission was, or our SLA was just awesome. They kept trying to think of different ways to help us out. You know, we have guidelines we have to follow through the RSA, and they were able to help quite a few of us. Now, fortunately, my place will never close. If STRATCOM closes, we're all in a heap of trouble. And you know, as Eric was also saying, a lot of the changes coming down, we're having to evolve and figuring out what's the best way to do our business. And with the pandemic, we all learned inventory management, especially when it was a sudden closing. I mean, my building did not close, but they went down to essential personnel. So it went from about 3,400 people to about 500.
So I still had to service the machines. They never did say I couldn't come out there, which I was always waiting for them to say that. But I still had people to serve. But I had just placed all my orders just like, you know, everything should be normal. And so I ended up having a lot of expired items just because of the reduced employee situation there. Let's see, what else? I might be kind of scattered here. I'm sorry, folks. But there's been, like, active participation with Eric explaining the new RSA guidelines with the federal subcontracts. We're working with the commission to help give ideas and our thoughts and understanding. Sometimes we don't have very much clarification because our SLA doesn't have much clarification, but they're always there and have supported, at least as far as I'm concerned, supported us to the best of their ability. Getting this third person will be definitely more helpful for all of us vendors across the state. And remember, this is across the state of Nebraska. We're not a little state. And a lot of us are on the eastern side, but there are quite a few out west, and it takes time to get there sometimes for those machine repairs. Things that I've learned, there's more than just filling a machine. You have to be aware of the trends of snacking, and they've had quite a few different ones because it's changed quite a bit during the pandemic. Health consciousness, and one thing that I had to learn, because out at Offutt we also have the cafeteria. Well, it was shut down, but here we have the essential personnel, which is there 24/7. So I had to figure out what else could I put in that. I didn't have any cold machines except for beverages. What else could I put in there to potentially service them for a substitute meal or something like that? So I started putting in those Hormel Complete dinners. And, you know, those are shelf stable, and they don't need to be refrigerated. And each break room has microwaves, you know. So I kept thinking of different things like that, and more protein-oriented items, because that's, you know, kind of the trend for people eating and their dietary needs and things like that. I try to put up surveys to find out what they want. And then also with having some traditional vending machines for sodas, you're kind of limited to only 20-ounce bottles of a certain shape. We also have some, what we call the glass fronts, where we can put a variety of different things in there. So I